My name is Elmo Shropshire, maybe better known as Dr. Elmo.
This is Eartha Kitt.
This is Mariah Carey. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Hello, this is Paul McCartney. I'd like to wish everyone out there a very happy Christmas.
This is Jane Monheit. You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I am not and don't pretend to be an expert on Christmas music. I'm a fan. I just love it a lot, and I collect a lot of it, and I play a lot of it on the Sounds of Christmas station. So while I'm not an expert, I do have a pretty good grasp on songs that have recently been released and on songs that have been released not so recently. And I spot the trends with new Christmas releases where many artists cover many of the same songs. Now, I invited some friends who also love Christmas and Christmas music to join me for a conversation about some of the most covered Christmas songs. Ashley from the Christmas Chapters podcast is here, Jerry D from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast, and Kevin from the Tis the Soundtrack podcast. Thank you all for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ken.
Now, before we get going, I'd like to ask each of you to introduce yourselves and share a little bit about your podcast. Ashley, let's start with you. The Christmas Chapters podcast is brand spanking new.
Yes, thanks, Ken. Well, although I'm not brand spanking new, my previous podcast was The Magic of the Season, but I did some reflecting and kind of wanted to come up with something that was just a little bit more structured and something that I valued a little bit more. So I put some thought into it and wanted to restart a podcast that I think aligned a little bit better with what I was doing. So I came up with the Christmas Chapters podcast. And generally, it's going to, as you can probably tell, come out into chapters as opposed to episodes. And they're going to be a little bit of traditions, and I'll be speaking to different people in my life, some friends from here and some friends from offline, just about their traditions and where they came from. I actually have a friend of mine who's from Newfoundland, and he does the mummers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the mummers, but if you're not, Google it. And so we're going to be talking about that. And it's my favorite. So things like that.
You have friends offline?
is that allowed? What's that like?
Yeah.
All my friends are
in
this box.
I really do. I really try.
Jerry, for anybody who hasn't heard you somehow on a previous episode here, it's Totally Rad Christmas all about.
So yeah, Totally Rad Christmas, all about Christmas in the 80s. We talk about anything Christmas in the 80s. So specials, music, movies, fads, foods, toys, comics, books, magazines. Yeah, just as long as it was gnarly and Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. So good stuff.
And sometimes, as I've personally experienced, it's sort of Christmas adjacent.
There's a little bit of Christmas adjacent, and sometimes it's 80s adjacent, right?
Yes.
So I go from about 77 to 93, you know, a little bit of transition, like kind of sagging into it and on its way out. And then randomly just some classics that, you know, might have been decades old, but were shown constantly throughout the 80s and kind of formed my childhood, at least. So I play loose, fast and loose with a lot of things. And yeah.
With a lot of things?
Yeah.
Or things?
with just about everything.
Okay.
But mostly 80s. So there you go.
Okay. I might have to cut this part out, but I have to ask it because I've been thinking about this. Have you done an episode about Johnny Dangerously?
I have not.
Because
no.
There's one scene in there that's Christmas related, so I feel like that counts.
Oh, totally. I play by the Todd Killian from Christmas Clatter rules of what counts as Christmas. So if they mention Christmas, or if there's like a candy cane in the background, I'm counting it. So, yeah.
And Kevin hosts the Tis the Soundtrack podcast. Kevin, what's Tis the Soundtrack all about?
Yeah, the name kind of gives it away. We don't hide anything there. So we focus on Christmas music, specifically Christmas music in movies, in television, in advertising. And we play fast and loose too. So if you've got a Christmas commercial that has some non-Christmas music, we call that Christmas adjacent, and we talk about that too. And then recently, we've been doing a Merry Mixtape series, which mm-hmm. Ken and Jerry, you both have participated in, and Ashley, we'll have to get you coming soon. In that series, we have a guest pick a theme or a topic. And then they put together their own mixtape around that topic, and we come on and we walk through it song by song and talk about it. And the last episode of the podcast was the Merry Mixtape with Mr. Tim Babb of Can't Wait for Christmas,
aww,
where we
fun.
Talked about his mixtape full of the Christmas time sounds of Disneyland. No surprise.
Right.
And speaking of fast and loose, I don't remember how many songs you had asked me to come up with, but I'm pretty sure I came up with twice as many,
yeah,
maybe even more than that.
I did the same.
Yeah. You guys both put in double albums. Tim, without trying, hit almost 74 minutes. So the original goal was 74 minutes, because that's a CD's worth of music back when CDs, you know, first came out, before they started cramming them up to 80 or so. Tim, without trying, hit 74 minutes, but did it with like 7 songs, because they're all parade themes and ride themes that are, you know, mm-hmm. 10 or 12 minutes apiece. So, I don't think we've had anyone actually play by the rules yet, but that's fine.
Well, I know on this podcast, I have constantly asked people to come up with a list of 5 or 10 songs, and it seems like everybody says, sure, and then they come in with 15 or 20, which is fine, because I usually have 25. So,
yeah.
It's true.
What we've got for this episode are a bunch of songs that have Christmas songs that have been covered a lot. And I was kind of thinking, this is the time of year when singers and bands start to think about making new Christmas music for the season. And I thought maybe it would be helpful, and hopefully not too judgmental, to talk about some songs that have a lot of covers already. And you may want to think twice about recording them. This is not a list of songs that I don't like. It's actually, it starts off with a list of the most covered Christmas songs according to the folks at Secondhand Songs, who track cover songs with help from music fans all over the world. They kind of run it like the way Wikipedia is run, with people all over, except that when you are submitting a cover song to them, it goes to sort of like a committee, and they review it and make sure that it's really out there, it's really available, before they add it to their site. So it's sort of legitimate, I guess, but it is constantly changing, and sometimes they miss stuff. So this should not be taken as the gospel. It's just a good guideline. And I'll put a link down to the show notes in the show notes for Secondhand Songs and their list of most covered songs, and you'll find these Christmas songs in there. I want to run through their top 25 and just sort of shout out all of the stuff here. And I'm not going to give you the specific numbers except for the first one and the last one, just so you get an idea. Silent Night is number one, with 4,129 versions, followed by White Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, The Christmas Song, Jingle Bells, Winter Wonderland, Adeste Fidelis, O Holy Night, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, The First Noel, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Joy to the World, Carol of the Drum, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Let It Snow, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Away in a Manger, Silver Bells, We Three Kings, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Deck the Halls, Sleigh Ride, O Tannenbaum, and Blue Christmas, which is number 25, with 755 versions out there. So, what I had asked for my guests on this episode is to come up with five songs that they, aside from those, that they think have enough covers out there already, or maybe you should think twice about covering. But to sort of make it positive, I also asked for five songs that you think should get covered.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how it goes. Ashley, how about you? Let's start with your number five of a song that shouldn't be covered again.
Okay, so you know how you're talking about when people come on, they come on with like 15?
Yes.
Well, since you asked me, I'm not going to lie. It took me a while because I'm like looking at that list. I'm like, this is definitely the generic, you hear this all the time list, minus a few. And I'll probably, you know, obviously we're all going to touch on those few that aren't in that list. But I really could only come up with a couple. I only came up with four out of my hand that I wouldn't want them to redo.
Okay.
And then the other list is stuff that I do want to hear. So anyways, I come up with four. So I'll tell you my fourth.
Okay.
And is Believe by Josh Groban. And it's more for like a personal, I can't really see anybody else doing it as well as him. And I just don't want anyone else to screw it up. So that's my own personal thing.
Okay. Jerry, what's on the bottom I guess, of your list?
So the one that's on the bottom of my list is Do You Hear What I Hear? Not that it's not a good song. It is a good song. It's never been my favorite song, although I do get gremlins. I get traumatized by the gremlins whenever I hear it, you know, but, you know, PTSD. But it's one of those that I think there are other songs that are more poignant and other songs that I think are melodically and harmonically more interesting. And you know what? Bing Crosby had a great version. Johnny Mathis had a great version. We don't need any other versions. Those are pretty good. So I kind of stuck with Do You Hear What I Hear? Yeah.
Okay. Kevin, how about you?
I'm coming out firing shots. All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey.
I was wondering who was going to come up with that one.
Yeah. So, not that I don't like the song, but I was putting together notes for an episode I'm going to be recording on Monday, and for the types of bands I'm putting together the episode for, it shocked me how many of them had covered that song, and in the last handful of years. So, you didn't share ahead of time that you were getting your information from secondhand songs, but I happened to pull a bunch of my stuff from there, too. So, I was surprised. This one's pushing 500 already. Yeah. And, you know, and it hasn't been out. Keep saying it hasn't been out that long, but, you know, the 90s are now, you know, that many years ago. But
if
you
look at the...
Don't remind us.
But if you look at the covers on secondhand songs, they really started picking up steam like 10 years ago. And in the last 5 years, there's just been a bunch of them. And some are good. Some are not so good. No one's going to repeat what Mariah Carey did. I think that's just 2025. Let's give that one a break for a year.
How many did you say covered it?
482, if I read it right.
Yes. I just found like, because maybe the last 10 years, I feel like it's been so many more. Like, I feel like it's been 400 since last year.
It's on my list too. And it does have almost 500 versions in 30 years, but 98 of them have happened since 2021.
Oh, okay.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, like almost 100 versions in the last 4 years. So if you're a singer or in a band and you guys love this song, you have to think about that because you're not going to get airplay. You're not. There's too many other with the same title that are trying to do it too, and their traditional radio is playing Mariah Carey every 5 minutes, it seems, but probably not. But
you could be right.
But really, now if you are a singer or in a band and you just love that song, I'm not telling you not to record it. But if your goal is to get noticed, get added on playlists, get maybe some radio airplay, that song's not going to do it for you.
Yeah, no.
So
I don't think so.
Ashley, what's next on your list?
It's Holly Jolly Christmas, mostly because whenever I hear Holly Jolly Christmas, it's Burl Ives that I hear. And I think the only person who ever really came, for me anyways, came close to it and I was surprised was Michael Bublé. And I think those two are the ones that I can listen to and really like hunker down and enjoy and feel very comfy cozy when I hear that. But I feel like any of the others I've heard, they just don't do it for me. So, yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Jerry, what's next for you?
So I actually picked Jingle Bell Rock. You know, after talking about Hall & Oates and their goofy sweaters and that video where we said the word goofy like way too many times, but it was awesome either way. You know, it's I don't think it needs to be done anymore. There's been 470, I think, if I counted right, covers of it. So like, you know, that's we're pushing 500. I think we're OK if we don't hear any more Jingle Bell Rock. So, yeah. It's a great song. Again, great song. And I do have a theory why most of these are like way up there. A lot of them are actually like royalty free. So, I mean, there's a few in there, you know, White Christmas and the Christmas song, but there's a lot that are like very traditional. And that's why there's high up there. But I think with Jingle Bell Rock, it does not have to be up to 500 covers.
Well, Jingle Bell Rock is on my list too. And so I'll just butt in here and say that. Yeah. In the last 4 years, there have been over 50 versions of Jingle Bell Rock Unleashed.
That's I'm telling you, it's crazy.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot. I got a version a couple years ago by an 80s artist who was working on a comeback. I don't want to say who they are, but it had nothing. It had no personality. It was paint by numbers. If I didn't tell you who it was, you would have no idea. It could have been anybody.
Wow.
And I feel like with Jingle Bell Rock, everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing with it. When you're recording that, it's hard to make it feel like you believe what you're singing. It's hard to believe that there's anything holly jolly about it. you're just going through it. Just feels like you're just going through the motions, and you don't have goofy sweaters that we can see.
That's so, right.
Kevin, what's next on your list?
Wonderful Christmas Time. So it's a divisive song. You either love it or you hate it. I love it. It's actually
I
one of
too.
My five favorite Christmas. Yeah. With the exception of the, and Jerry, you're going to know the name for it, that like weird synth breakdown that happens towards the end of it. That takes a little away from me. And my problem is everyone who covers it does something weird there. And it doesn't make it better. So, and you know, however many years ago now, in my mind, the definitive version came out, which was the Straight No Chaser one featuring Paul McCartney. And that was the most perfect way to fix that part of it is you just turn it into an a cappella piece.
Yeah.
And so I love it. This is also one of my wife's least favorite Christmas songs. And so the less people, so this is a
opposite
plea to
track,
any bands.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a plea to any bands out there listening to Ken's episode. If you could avoid covering it, you know, then it won't show up in my house as much and it keeps my marriage happy. So this is a personal plea to everyone out there. If you could avoid it this year, you're doing me a favor.
Do so, yeah.
All right, Jingle Bell Rock was next on my list, and I think we said all we need to say about that one.
Yeah.
Ashley, what's next for you?
Frosty the Snowman. Very similar to why Holly Jolly Christmas is the way it is the same as Frosty the Snowman, because Gene just did it the way he did it, and I think it all settles in our heart a certain way, and I don't know if anyone else could do that. So, yeah, I don't want to hear it. And also, to be honest, I think it's been done. And if you're a parent or anywhere near child, that song has been done so many times by so many kids' bops and Miss Rachel's and I just don't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
Not done by those people. So yeah.
Okay, Jerry, what's next for you?
So. Okay, this one has been covered at least 224 times. It is Do They Know It's Christmas? Now, I know why they're trying to raise money, but nowadays there's a line in there that might not fly. You know, there's definitely a white savior complex going on there. One that just doesn't quite make sense anymore for today's people. But also it's just structured really weird. There's like no real like verse chorus like we get in a lot of these, or it's not really strophic like we would in some of these traditional ones. So it's just kind of a weird song that I know they wrote on the fly just to kind of raise some money real quick, but also it's not the best song. And even Midyore and Bob Geldof have said they're not responsible for just one bad song, but two, because they considered We Are the World another bad song. So, you know, I mean, it's overplayed, and I think we're okay, again, if we don't hear another version of it. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. Really, how Christmassy is it that thank God it's them instead of,
you know? Exactly.
It's so, oh my gosh.
I know what they're trying to say, you know, like, just be grateful for what you have and that you're not going through what they're going through, but also like, don't say it like that.
Well, and I've been very surprised that in so many of these covers, they don't change some of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I understand you want to be respectful to the song, but come on.
I think they finally did in, what was it, Band-Aid, was it 20? I think
20
they
or
actually
30.
Or
yeah.
30, one of those, they actually changed that one line, but most folks don't, and I agree. It's a little, ooh, you know. So,
Kevin, what's next for you?
The next one on mine is Santa Baby. So it's not one of my favorites. It's not my least favorite by any means, but it's kind of like the Mariah Carey one. It had a weird trajectory. So, you know, Eartha Kitt's original came out in 1953, and then it just wasn't touched until the late 1990s. And so I think there were like less than 10 covers, you know, for the first 50 years that it was out. You had like Everclear in the mid-90s doing it, and like that was about the only thing of note. And then around 99, 2000, you've had like 10 or 20 a year since then. And so I felt like I've been hearing a lot of versions of it, and secondhand songs back that up at least. And none of them are Eartha Kitt. I don't know that you can do a better version unless you take it a completely different direction. So that's the next one that, yeah, you can just give it a break for a year.
I think Madonna did a pretty good job.
Yeah, she was one of the only other ones pre like the end of the 90s that that did it. Yeah.
I thought it was really cool that Eartha Kitt did like a sequel to it a year later, this year's Santa Baby, and she updated some of the things she wanted, but still, it was 1954.
Yeah. Right.
And I got a big kick out of Everclear doing it, because that was unexpected. But now, I'm with you. Give it a rest.
Well, didn't Michael Bublé do Santa Buddy or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you gotta change the song like that, just don't do it. Do a different song.
My next one is Wonderful Christmas Time. There have been 36 versions in the last 4 years, which is which is a lot. And I like Jimmy Fallon with Paul and the Roots. They did it 10, 15 years ago. And it was quick and to the point and about 90 seconds long. And I thought, well, this is a little bit different, and okay, that's fine. But so many of them are, I don't know, I don't want to say weird, but just
weird.
Weird works.
Weird works.
They just, and it's just, and there's enough. There's enough.
It's kind of odd how many Paul McCartney comes back on to do also, because he did the one with Fallon and the Roots, right? He was on there with them. I think he was on the Shins version with them that they did. I guess that's one way to ensure your royalties on it. Just grabbing it from every angle. But
Paul is a good businessman. Ashley, I think you've got one left.
Yes. So originally it was going to be All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey. That was my first one. But I also was trying to think if the reason why I hadn't really heard too much of it, because I was like, why haven't more people covered it? because it's not up there, but I was trying to think, like, why wouldn't more people cover it? And then I was like, wait, did she try to, like, copyright stuff so that people couldn't? Or I don't know if she did, but I know she was trying to copyright her, like, her name. But I was going to think if she was trying to copyright her song to make so that people wouldn't. But anyways, obviously she did not, but it was going through my head as I was looking into it. So instead of that, I chose Santa Baby as we were going through things. And then you just took that too. But I think Santa Baby, for me, got overplayed kind of when Mean Girls came back into the picture. If you know, like, what I'm talking about there, like when people of the millennial age tried to bring things back and like Mean Girls came back into it. The Santa Baby thing got overplayed by a lot of people. So yeah, I could care less to hear much more of that. And also, it's always done very, provocatively. And we just as a traditionalist, I just don't love that. You know, don't love that.
That's fair. Jerry, what's next for you?
All right, so I actually went with "Please Come Home for Christmas." Mostly, it's a good song. I love when the Eagles do it. There's, you know, the original, of course, is also great. After hearing Bon Jovi's on our playlist at the store, because I work at a Christmas store, after hearing it like about 10 to 12 times a day, all from July all the way through like March, I don't ever want to hear the song ever again. So and again, there was like 200, I think 24 versions of it. That's fine. That's not a lot compared to 4,000 of Silent Night, but that's still like 222 versions too many. So yeah, Please Come Home for Christmas can please stay away for Christmas.
Oh, and one of the things that gets me about that song is it's a blues song. It should be a little emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many artists who will put it out, and it's almost like it's on the level of Holly Jolly Christmas, that it's just happy and, okay, Please Come Home for Christmas shouldn't be a happy song.
It will, and missing. Like when Don Henley sings it, you know, he's got that gravelly voice. It's kind of blues-esque, you know. But then when I love Bon Jovi, like he's one of my favorite artists, but when he sings it, it's just not, it doesn't have that same gravitas. Like it's just, it's odd. So we don't need to hear it anymore.
I don't want this to sound too judgmental or disrespectful to Bon Jovi, but when I hear Bon Jovi's version, I feel like it's closer to being a threat than it is. You know, it's
that weird level of intensity that
it is very intense, and it's borderline angry, and I feel like that's not really. And Bon Jovi have done a lot of Christmas songs, and there are plenty of them that I do like. I just feel like that's not one of them. Okay. There. I said it. Kevin, what's next for you?
My next one, I was actually surprised it wasn't on the top 25 list, 12 Days of Christmas. I think I can't remember if it was with Jerry. I shared with someone, my wife's least favorite Christmas song is The Little Drummer Boy, and she has just a visceral reaction to it. That's how I feel about the 12 Days of Christmas. On secondhand songs, it's like under 300. That shocked me how low that was. So I either they're missing a whole bunch or I just really hate it that much. And kind of like Ashley's comment before, it's one of those songs where every kids group has a version of it. You know, it's they baby shark the thing. For the traditional ones, you know, everyone from Perry Como to Pentatonix, none of them do it for me. With the same caveat that Straight No Chaser's version, which isn't really the 12 Days of Christmas, it's the one that like morphs into Toto's Africa at the end.
I love that one.
Yes.
That's the best one.
So if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, that's fine. But if you're just going to just march through the days, give it a break.
Or the Starlight Vocal Band. Version of it. They stop at like two.
The two.
It's great.
Yeah, and not like Bob and Doug McKenzie. Where
I was that's, literally that's just one. About to yeah, say
that's
that.
That's a classic, but it doesn't count, right? Because it's
yeah, it's well, and it's a spoof. And they admit, oh, this should just be the 2 days. It's too hard for us. But Starland Vocal Band is doing it as seriously as they did anything, and it just sort of fades out after they get through the second day.
It's so brilliant.
We're done. We're done. We gotta go.
That's enough of that.
Next one for me is Carol of the Bells. I like Carol of the Bells. There's I think around 700 versions out there. There have been 70 since 2021.
70.
That's a lot. So there are a lot of people that are doing this, and some of them are great, and some of them sound, the instrumental ones, a lot of them sound the same.
They sound the same,
For years, I thought the version David Foster did was actually Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, yeah, I get that. It totally sounds like it, yeah.
And David Foster and Catherine McPhee did a new Christmas album recently, and that's on it, but it sounds the same. So I don't know if they used if it's just the same version or if it's the actual same song they just plugged in there. I don't know. But so many of these do sound the same. And again, if you're going to put out new Christmas music, I don't know how you get to Carol of the Bells and make it different than the 70 that have come out in the last 4 years, let alone the 600 and so that came out before then. That's got to be tough. So I would suggest thinking of something else.
You just got to go to like the, what's it called? Not the relative major, the just change it from, you know, instead of the minor key that it's in, just go to like its equivalent, you know, I don't know, whatever. I there's like ways you could do it, but they never do it. It's all the same.
Yeah.
No, it seems like you either
just reharmonization.
It seems like kind of like Ken was saying, you either try to mimic Mannheim Steamroller or you try to mimic Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're just not going to quite do either.
That's the one.
Yeah. Celtic Woman did a really beautiful version. You don't hear a lot of vocal versions of this one, but that was that was probably 10 years ago. But that's rare. And because of the nature of the song, if you're going to do a vocal version, you better be good or you're just going to sound ridiculous.
Okay, wait. Forgive me for asking this, and it might just dumb me down a little bit, but there was a vocal version of Carol of the Bells?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was originally made popular as the Ukrainian Bell Carol, and then they changed the name to Carol of the Bells.
Okay.
I think Andy Williams has a version. The Ray Conniff singers have versions. Yeah. But then it was made really popular by Robert Shaw Chorale and his choral version of it. And that's kind of what, like, that version is like the version that everybody copies, whether it's instrumental or not.
Yeah, there is a version Mannheim Steamroller did when they redid a bunch of stuff with the Czech orchestra early 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. And they did a version of Carol of the Bells, and it's terrific, and it's just so very Christmassy. I love that. But there have been 70 in the last 4 years. 70 versions. So
yeah. So,
got some listening to do, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Ashley, do you have any left?
No.
Okay. Jerry, you got one left?
Yeah, I do. So, this one has been covered just a little over 500 times. It is Last Christmas.
Yes.
So, again, I love Last Christmas. People usually, again, either love it or hate it. I kind of hated it for a long time, then I loved it, then I hated it again, and now I love it again. And 500 versions, like, that's excessive. It's the same... The same thing. Ashley Tisdale has a version. Taylor Swift has a version. I mean, there's also, I just discovered two other versions from the 80s by like some Danish bands. So I'm excited to talk about that. But also, like, I don't need those versions. Just I'll stick with George Michael and and the crazy synth. And that's really all you need for this one song. There doesn't need to be two versions of it. But
Last Christmas is a love-hate song for me because I feel like on the one hand it happens and it's like the song happens and Christmas is happening also, but there's nothing in particular about it that's really has right. anything to do with Christmas. However, if it wasn't for Christmas, it wouldn't have happened. So it's kind of like, I refer to it as the Die Hard of Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Perfect. Totally.
You need Christmas for Last Christmas to have happened, but really it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas.
That's great.
Yeah. Kevin, what have you got left?
My last one was Dominic the Christmas Donkey. I don't have a lot to say about it. It's just I don't like the song. I didn't even bother looking this one up to see if it was covered, how many times it was covered. It's one of the few songs. If it comes on, I'll skip it on. You know, I'll skip it in rotation. I don't have anything else to say. Don't like it.
Can I just say something about that? Yeah. So. Sure. In Canada, where I am in Ontario, I border Buffalo, like, and Toronto. So we get a lot of the Buffalo stations as well as the Toronto stations. So the Buffalo radio stations play Dominic the Donkey, like, quite often, just like we would play I Want a Hippopotamus. And up until I heard that on the American stations, I had never heard of Dominic the Donkey. So I don't know if it's an American thing, but in Canada, they do not play it on any of the radio stations at all. So that's a tidbit, I guess, for you guys.
Right. Bonus point, Canada.
Yeah. it's awful. I do turn it off every time. I'm just like, oh, please don't. Like, just don't ruin my drive.
It is one of three songs that I know of that make people turn off the radio. The singing dogs doing Jingle Bells is another one.
I love that one.
And just, my number that. One, well, I have a tie for number one, but one of the ones, my number one is the other one. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Yes.
Oh, man, I love that one too.
There are only 57 versions. There have only been three in the last 4 years, but really, just stop it.
No, I agree. You only need the one version. Like, that's all you need. Yeah.
So in grade five, we did this at our Christmas concert, our class. And if you can just imagine what grade fives look like with holding up like paper made reindeers as they're running a child over. And I'm not even kidding. As I look back at this, I'm like, why did they let us do this? It's so terrible. But we reacted we reenacted everything. So, just imagine that.
I remember in the 90s, I think it was the group Poi Dog Pondering that did a cover of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And it was very unexpected, but really
weird.
The other one that I have for number one is Underneath the Tree, Kelly Clarkson. And there have only been like two dozen covers since that came out. But of those, 16 of them have happened in the last few years. And it's just gonna get worse or better, I guess, depending on how you look at it. There's gonna be more and more radio stations are starting to consider this as a
classic.
Yeah, a classic, as almost a Christmas.
We talked
standard.
About that on one of your episodes, remember?
Yeah.
That was Tim Babb brought it up. Songs that should be considered a classic, and I think he was right.
But
also, like, if you're up against Kelly Clarkson again, you're not going to be getting the airplay.
No chance. No. And there are a bunch of other songs that have that same title, so it's really going to be hard to get noticed if that's why you're covering the song. Is to, like I said, for so many of these others, is to sort of get noticed. That's not one to cover it for. If that's your favorite Christmas song or one of your favorites and you just love it and want to record a version, knock yourself out. That's great. And that's true really for all of these, except Dominic the Donkey. Don't do that. But all the rest of these. Yeah. So to sort of make this positive, how about songs that should get covered?
Yes.
Ashley, you have five or more than five?
I do. I have five.
Okay. What's number five?
Okay, so number five was actually 12 Days of Christmas. It wasn't on that list, and I know it was yours, I know it was yours, Kevin, to not want to. And as soon as you said that about like the kid stuff, I was like, oh yeah, oh dear God. But I would love to hear it done by, I don't know, like somebody who can do something with it, because I feel like it is fun to listen to, especially like, you know, when you have kids in the air. I'm sure it is, but I would love for them to turn it into something like a little bit with a little bit more melody and something, you know, sing more singy. And I don't know, just, yeah, I'd love to for them to turn it into something. So
Roger Whittaker has a version of this song.
Yes.
It's odd because he has this like big baritone operatic voice, but then there's like a lot of synthesizer in the background. So it's like a strange combo. However, on one of the verses, I don't remember if it's like seven or eight, he actually goes to the relative minor. And so it just changes the whole mood of the song. You're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And they stay in that through the rest of that, you know, from like nine all the way down, or whatever it was, all the way down to Partridge in a Pear Tree. And then it changes back and you're like, oh, that's a cool little seg to get us back into the, you know, the major key we were in. So like, I think if you were to do like a composer could do something really, really cool with that song. But I just don't want to take the time to do it. So hopefully someone better at it than me could really knock it out of the park.
I'm betting it changes, because that's the point where the guy getting these gifts realizes this is a lot of birds.
That's right. Yeah. Like, oh, so many birds.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, what's your number five?
So I actually have seven. So I'll just say seven, six, and five together.
Okay.
To get us down there. So, okay. So most of these are songs that nobody has really covered. There's very few. So number seven is Gaudete. It was originally a medieval hymn recorded by Steel Eye Span in the 70s. Really cool, super cool song, super interesting. I'd love to hear more versions of that. I bet, again, like someone like the Robert Shaw Chorale, or, you know, of that caliber, could really take that and make it amazing. Number six I had, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. That one would be harder, but I think I'd be interested in hearing like an updated version of it. And then finally, my number five, It's Christmas All Over the World, originally written for Santa Claus the Movie, performed by Sheena Easton. I would really be into hearing some contemporary artists like capture that. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I love that song. I was surprised that right around the same time, or maybe the year later, New Edition did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like how the movie was too, right? It was popular in 85, played for a few years, and then you say Santa Claus the Movie, and everybody thinks you're talking about Tim Allen's The Santa Claus, you know? So, anyway, those are mine. It's Christmas All Over the World, I think, has only been covered. Yeah, there's only, like, a couple in here. So, yeah, I think that could really be one that's really done well.
Okay. Kevin, you have five, or
I've got five, and
okay.
I've got five. I was super nervous when Jerry rattled off three back to back that he was going to snag this one, because it's right in his wheelhouse. And I think the two of you guys recorded an episode about it recently. So I had at five, Jack Frost and the Hooded Crow.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool
one. Nice.
So
that would be tough to cover.
I know. I was thinking the same thing, because it's in 5/4 and.
Yeah, so for an episode I'm working on right now, I've been listening to a lot of metal, which isn't normally my thing, and I don't know how much of a crossover audience you've got with Sounds of Christmas and folks that are into Southern California metalcore, but there's a few bands, maybe there's some.
They're like this, it's right there.
But there's a couple bands, one of them is Of Mice and Men, the other one's Black Veil Brides, and they're more theatric, more orchestral, some of them use violins, and I think they could do a very good job covering it, but making it their own and different. So that was my number five.
Okay.
As you were saying that about the two bands, this whole time while we were talking about, you know, remakes of songs, I think to myself, like, the best covers or the best CDs that I will listen to is Punk Goes Christmas. And if you guys have ever, there's a thing called The Taste of Christmas. It used to be called The Taste of Chaos, which is a concert thing. So The Taste of Christmas was like a CD that played over and over again for me. There's some delicious songs in there. great stuff like by The Used. And so it's, yeah, honestly, like as you were sitting there listing off things, I'm just like, yeah, like, oh, wow, they would probably actually crush it. I love that.
Number five for me, Holly Leaves and Christmas Trees. I think Elvis did it first, 1971, I believe. Since then, there have only been about 15 versions, and none since 2015. So if you are looking for a classic that sounds like a classic, but everybody doesn't know it, Holly Leaves and Christmas Trees. And judging from the silence, nobody here knows it.
I think I've heard it like once.
Yeah.
Okay. Ashley, what's next?
Driving Home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
And I love it so much. It's one of those, like, it hits when you're driving for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I would love to hear somebody do something different with it, because I think that there's so much opportunity there for, you know, so a different range or, yeah, I just think if somebody picked it up and tweaked it a little bit, I would love to listen to it.
Yeah, totally agree. Jerry, what's next for you?
All right, so this song is probably the best known song in all of South Texas. Kids don't know the words to Jingle Bells. They know all the words to this song where I'm from. It is Feliz Navidad. Now, it's going to be hard to top Jose Feliciano. That's the one that's been playing now for, what, 50 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But most of the versions that I've heard all kind of really suck. Like, I would love to hear, like, I'm surprised Los Lobos didn't do, like, or maybe they did and I just haven't heard it. But, you know, like, that would be great. Who's that, the band that did... that song Heaven, the Lonely
Los
Boys.
Lonely Boys.
Yeah, Los Lonely Boys. You know, I'd love to hear a version from them.
They did it.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Check out their Christmas album, 2008-ish.
Geez, I didn't even know they had a Christmas album. All right. Homework now. Yeah. But like a lot of them are terrible. I would love to hear something just really good to kind of bring it back, I don't want to say. But yeah, to get that sting out of people's ears that that they tend to have with the song.
Well, it would definitely be hard for that to get airplay because traditional radio loves Jose.
Yeah.
So that would be tough because Los Lonely Boys that had a huge hit with Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even know they had a Christmas
I didn't even
song.
Know they had one. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's tough to compete. But I don't know if you could do something different with that either. That would be tough.
I mean, I think you could. I think you could do like a mariachi version or a Tejano version. Mm-hmm. I think would really hit, especially in South Texas. Yeah. That would really
Southern
hit
California
there.
Too, yeah.
But,
New Mexico. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. But like Chicago, when they released... their Christmas out Chicago 25. And then of course, later on when they re-released it and re-released it again, they had his version and Robert Lamb. I love Robert Lamb. I love his songwriting. I love his singing. He cannot sing Feliz Navidad. I'm sorry. It's bad.
So. Yeah. It's not jazz. It's not R&B.
Yeah.
And it sounds weird when you try to make it.
Right. Right.
Kevin, what's next for you?
So I might be bending the rules with my next one, because there's some disagreement on whether it's a Christmas song or not. Folks who disagree are wrong, by the way. But it's Krista Berg's Spaceman Came Traveling.
Yeah.
And so nice. I think there's only like a dozen covers of it since the mid-70s when it was released. And I found a Gregorian version. There's a Celtic one.
Oh,
but
cool.
Yeah, but no, like, you know, artists that you would know have ever covered it. So for all of these, I did also kind of think of if someone's going to cover it, you know, what would I want it to sound like? So I think something like Muse, especially like in the early 2000s when they were doing like Black Holes and Revelations, like something like that album would lend itself really well to that song.
Yeah, that'd work.
Well, he re-recorded and like redid it in the 80s as well.
Yep.
And that's kind of a version that we heard on that Carolade 1985.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really hear it because they didn't play it. You know, the clip is what we heard it in the montage. But
next for me, we wish you the merriest.
Oh, that was my next one.
That's
Bing and Frank. There have been about a dozen versions, but only three in the last few years. And I think one of those was from the Frozen Christmas.
Yeah, that was the thing. Idina Menzel and Josh Gad one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But. And I think Seth MacFarlane had that on his Christmas album, too.
Yeah, but, it was the title track of his second Christmas album, the one he did the duets with Liz Gillies on.
Yeah. Mm. You know, I was looking up the song The Merriest. Jane Monheit did that a few years ago, and then it goes back 50, 60 years, maybe. But then I came across We Wish You the Merriest, and I thought, you know, that one, I would love to hear... I'd love to hear somebody new do that. And it's pop enough that really just about anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
all you need is a right arranger, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was the next one on my list. So, you mentioned the Bing Crosby, Frank, Fred Waring version. That's the one that like everyone hears.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually originally done by Les Brown in his Band of Renown a handful of years earlier.
I like Les
and,
Brown.
Yeah, and it's a much different song. It's like a upbeat, like swing jazz version of it. But just about everyone who's covered it since then, even like the Seth MacFarlane one, they've just really leaned into that crooner sound with it. So when I was thinking about that one, you know, I'd love to see a modern band do like a jazz or a swing take on it, more in the version of the original Les Brown one. Or I could also see like John Legend and the Roots doing a version of it, you know, with their band, and that turning out well also.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And, you know, it, as Jerry was saying, with the right arranger, you could make this into a punk song very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be completely different, but it would still be... But it would still be the song. I think they could do that too. Ashley, what's next for you?
I have Three Ships. And I, yeah, so like Celtic roots here. And just would love to hear it done by somebody who, I don't know, who could make it more of like a crooner sound as opposed to like a, I don't know, acoustic-y sound. I'd like to hear it and be redone. But I love Three Ships. It's, yeah, very homey for me.
I have that as part of my number two. I'll explain when I get to number two. Yeah, no, I agree. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great song.
All right, Jerry, what's your number three?
So I went with Gabriel's Message.
Ooh.
Sting has a version, probably the most famous version of it. From a very special Christmas, as it was included on that, although he had actually released it a couple years earlier. And then like Jars of Clay almost copied his version exactly. I would love to hear just a new, again, updated version, maybe a different arrangement this time. John Michael Tabbitt might be able to do something really cool with it, but there's only been like 27 version recordings of it. One of them was Matt Maher, and I like Matt Maher, but no, I want something big and grand. It's Gabriel's Message, you know. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, it would be. I think who could do? Okay, everything that pops in my head right now is it would be interesting to hear a country version of that, which would be completely different from anything you're talking about. But at the same time, I'm also kind of surprised that there hasn't been one.
Yeah,
and I think again because the meter, like there's no real defined meter, and if you try to define the meter, it kind of alternates between like three and four, four randomly. So it's like, you know, it doesn't fit in our contemporary, you know, like pop scheme. And so I like things that are more interesting, whether it's harmonically or metrically or tonally. Just so. I think it would be just a home run, at least for me.
Okay. Kevin, what's next for you?
So my third one was We Wish You the Merriest. So I'm going to grab one off my reserve list here. So I'm going to go with Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Oh, okay.
So again, not heavily covered. I've talked about it before. It kind of just went dormant until the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special brought it back. And then I think it picked up a lot of steam after that. So I'd like to see either like a punk version of it, or just grab every 80s new wave artist who's still around, get a big band together, and just let them all cover it like a tribute and give the money away to something.
Yeah, I think that'd be good too. I'm in. Take my money now.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool. Do you know who the Dolly Rots are?
No.
Dolly Rots are, they're a couple, and they do a lot of punk covers and a lot of punk songs that aren't covers, and they've done it for a long time, and this would be right up their alley. They have some great Halloween songs. Emo Cthulhu is one of my favorites, but they're
oh nice.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, but they've done some really cool Christmas stuff, and I think Christmas Wrapping would be great for them. It would be a little more punk than the Waitresses, but yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, in my head, I was thinking something like the Linda, Linda, Lindas, or maybe, or even reaching back to the '80s, like what's the band, La Tigra, or something like that. I think could do a decent job with that.
Number three for me, Here Comes Santa Claus.
Mm. Oh yeah,
there's a few hundred versions out there, but there have only been like 18 in the last 4 years, and most of those have been part of medleys. I think a rock band could do this, knock out a 2-minute version.
Yep.
Just Here Comes Santa Claus, and I think that'd be really cool. And it'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two, Ashley?
Yeah. There's a toss of. But it would be Here We Come a Caroling or a Whistling. And I think it would be cool if it was done by like a pop punk band. And I don't know if it has been, but it obviously hasn't been on the radio or any radio I listen to, but I think it would be cool done acoustically or by a pop punk grab.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting song because it's in triple meter, right, for the verse, and then when we get to like that chorus section, it goes to duple meter. You know, it's like real stiff, so you're kind of almost swinging your eighths, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, bum 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 bum, and it's like real stiff. So I mean, yeah, in the right hands, I think that's a win.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. Number two for you, Jerry.
All right. So I actually have a medley. I would like to hear a medley of The Sussex Carol and I Saw Three Ships.
Ooh,
both are in triple meter. You can play them in the same key. You can actually almost sing both of them on top of each other. And I'd be really interested in both of those. The Sussex Carol has only been covered like 67 times. So, I mean, I would love to hear a choral arrangement of this. So something that has enough oomph to get on radio, but also has like more chorus, more maybe gospel choir singing both of them on top of each other, I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, gospel choir would, I think, knock that right out of the park.
Yeah, it almost needed to be like a gospel choir backing up.
Like someone, yeah.
Yeah. Like when Whitney did Joy to the World in Preacher's Wife,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Whitney's not here, so I don't know who would do it though.
Yeah. But I maybe Ariana Grande. I don't know.
Maybe.
She could, for sure.
Number two for you, Kevin.
This Christmas. So that is one of my all time favorite Christmas songs. Nothing beats the Donny Hathaway version, but even the other, what I would call the top ones, Bobby Womack, John Legend, the new Teddy Swims one that came out a couple of years ago, they're still in that same ilk. They're very similar to the Donny Hathaway one. So I'd like it to go a different direction. And I think getting something like Ray LaMontagne or Sturgill Simpson and going the country version, but specifically... Specifically the country version where you've got like the whole Opry band to do the big wall of sound in the background. So like Sturgill Simpson, I think his second album, had the cover of Nirvana's In Bloom, where it's got a full Opry band in the back of the whole thing, and it's a fantastic song. And I think something similar to that with This Christmas would work really well.
You didn't like the Gap Band's version?
I think whenever I hear that, like whenever I hear or think of that song, when I'm listening to it, the bass, like yeah. You hear that, like that drum, and it's like, that's a part of the, I always thought like, is it because my sound system is off? But no matter where you listen to it, you can be sitting beside a, yeah. like a radio or a, you know, whatever it's called, a Alexa. And it's still boom, boom. Like you hear that back yep. and I'm just like, yep. okay, so it's part of the song. Yeah. It's not my crappy radio yeah. station.
Well, it could be that also.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Number two for me is Perfect Christmas Night, Trans-Siberian Orchestra from The Grinch. There have been, I only know of one version that is one cover of this, and that's one that my wife did on her Christmas album in 2009. I feel like there might be a couple more, but there aren't many. But it's a very recognizable song since it was in The Grinch, even though that was mm-hmm. more years ago than we want to talk about. But I think it's a great Christmas song, and you don't hear it.
Yeah.
Nope.
And if you get a woman with a strong voice, you could emulate that or, you know, make it your own. Do something cool with it. But
yeah,
I'd love to hear that.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Ashley, number one.
My number one is Baby It's Cold Outside. And mostly because I want somebody to sing it and make it everything that people were afraid of it being. Just say that. It's what everyone was trying to cancel it for. And I hope that whoever takes it just like, you know, makes it extra creepy and extra like, you know, vibey. Like, just please do it and shut everybody else up, because I hope it creeps everyone who who felt any way about that song. I hope it just, you know, dances in your insides for, I don't know.
Who's that? The Lord, maybe? Or yeah. or Ghost, maybe? They could do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yes.
And number one for you, Cherry?
So this is a song that I've heard a dozen times and never really paid any attention to it until, Ken, you and I covered Carolade 1985. And it is Once in Royal David City. John Parr sings it, and it's just him and like two of his backup singers, and they killed it. It was awesome. And it made me want more versions of the song. It's only been covered like 160 times. But like, I don't know. I think this is another song that, you know, it's royalty free. So just throw it on your Christmas album, you know, and then you can really spruce it up. It could be really cool if done with the right hands, or, you know, the right person guiding everything from the arrangement to performance. I think it could be really well produced and could be a hit for someone.
Oh, yeah. And I was very surprised that that's what John Parr did. I wish he would have
right?
released it.
Yeah.
But that kind of, you know, just a vocalist and a guitar, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Kevin, what's at the top of your list?
So this one started on my don't cover it list. and as I was working on this over the last couple days, slowly made it to the other list and then slowly made it all the way to the top. So it's Snoopy's Christmas.
Okay.
So I also thought this was fun because it contains bits of two of the songs that are on the 25 most covered songs, because it starts with O Tannenbaum and it's got Hark the Herald Angels in the middle of it. Yeah, no one covers it. I mean, you had Smash Mouth cover it, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. And other than that, no one's really taken a stab at it. And I think you just, I don't know, throw a dart at, you know, a dartboard of indie darlings and, you know, Hit the Shins or Arcade Fire or something like that. And I think something in that vein would do a great job with that.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know who I think could do that is Mumford & Son. And they just like,
oh, yeah.
Out, and I think, yeah, I think they could do it too.
They would be great for, yeah. for Jerry's pick too. Once in Royal David City.
Yeah. Oh,
that'd be very cool. They wouldn't be bad for my pick either. Mine is Christmas Vacation. There are about a dozen tops versions of this since the movie came out in the late 80s. And it's so recognizable, so entrenched in Christmas. And I can't believe more people haven't covered it.
Right.
So I hope this doesn't spur people on so that this becomes Jingle Bell Rock, but I'd love it for a minute or so. But
also while you're at it, please release like the original. I would love an official release of the original would be great.
Yeah, that would be nice too. And that might be part of why we're not seeing a lot of covers.
Yeah.
Because it's all locked up in a vault and it's a big mess. And maybe that's why, but it has been, it's been more years than I want to.
Right.
Yeah. I know there was a big anniversary recently and I don't want to do the math, but it's been a long time and this could go so many different ways. It could be a country version. It could be a pop rock version. It could be a punk version. There's so many things that creative people could do with this. I would just love to get a really great new version of that. So there's mine. Anybody have any leftovers from either list that we didn't get to?
No, I don't. I'm all out.
I had Three Ships also, but I also was pretty sure Jerry was going to take that one. So it was on the reserve list. The only other one I had was The Spirit of Christmas. There's been some decent covers of it out there, but I think a lot of artists could do something interesting with that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other one that I had was Christmas Time, Bryan Adams song.
Mm. Oh,
I think that would be, Rob Thomas did it on his Christmas album a few years ago, but otherwise you don't hear it. And I think it's a terrific song and I would love to hear somebody take that one a different way from just a pop singer to something else. I think it could be very cool. Before we wrap this all up, what do you guys have coming up in May, Ashley?
Well, originally I was supposed to release something on April Fool's, but we experienced a almost week-long power outage. So I'm a little behind on things. So hopefully by May I will have my first episode out. And it'll be the first chapter of the Christmas chapters.
Cool. Jerry?
So I'm not exactly sure when these are going to drop or what order they're in, but I got some stuff coming up. Airwolf episode, an episode on 80s Christmas coloring books, Alf O'Tannerbaum. just some fun stuff. Webster, we're going to do also an episode on, hopefully, with you on Firefall, Christmas in Love. That was fantastic song. Somewhere around there, one of those or several of those episodes in a particular order that I don't know yet will drop.
You know, that Firefall song would be a good one for somebody to cover.
It would, actually.
Yeah. Kevin, what's coming up?
We've got a couple more Disneyland area loops coming up. At the beginning of May, you'll probably see an episode I'm recording with a guest in a couple days, which is the holiday music of all the bands that are playing on the Warped Tour's 30th anniversary. So that's coming out this summer, and there's a couple hundred artists between the three stops. And so I've got someone coming on with me in a couple days to pick our top 10 or dozen tracks from that group of artists and go through those. And then I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do it, but my wife surprised me a week or two ago, and she sent me her own Merry mixtape. And so this is a big deal because I've established before my wife generally hates Christmas music. it's not her thing.
Right.
I've mentioned before that unless I'm doing podcast episodes in the house, I'm not allowed to start Christmas music till Thanksgiving, and then it ends promptly on New Year's, and so I've got a window. But she shot me a list YouTube playlist of her favorite Christmas songs. And then she also provided me a list of her least favorite Christmas songs. And so I think I can squeeze two episodes out of that. I'm just trying to coax her into coming on and recording with me so we can do something with it.
Aww, that's actually nice. Yeah, that's really nice.
Very cool. Well, I will put links down in the show notes to where everybody can find all three of you. And thank you. Thank you very much for spending so much time mostly being positive about Christmas songs that could be better.
It was mostly positive.
I think we, yeah.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, head over and find your favorite, then click there and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.